This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Jennifer Smith, and here with my wonderful and beautiful co-host Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, how are you doing?
Foot still is not better.
What?
So weird. Yeah, the foot is still not better.
You should just cut it off at this point. Just amputate.
I don't know. I'm okay.
No, you want to keep it? All right.
I'll keep it.
Well, we're doing another timely podcast.
Can you believe I'm so that? Proud of it.
I know. I'm sure this little streak right here will last us the next 6 months. Gotta be, right?
I was gonna say, just don't jinx it.
Although we do have plans for the next episode already, so.
We do.
It's even scheduled, so, hey. I'm just saying, we're doing a good job.
We're trying.
We're putting in the effort that we previously did not put in during the summer. So, like our last episode, we told you guys that we would be doing a CW kind of like exclusive episode for all of the fall TV premieres, and we've done this, what, 3 times now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just like in our previous episodes, we wanted to have our friend Russell Sellers on to talk CW shows with us. Hey, Russell.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
Not drinking at all.
No.
I'm medicated, so does that work? Does that
yes.
count? Yes. Okay.
I'm going to allow it, Miranda.
Okay.
So
day drinking on a Sunday.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy football watching time on a Sunday.
I am pulling a Greg Phillips and multitasking.
Oh, fantastic.
My team is, like, almost over. We pretty much won, so I am not multitasking.
I promise I'm actually prepared for this podcast.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that.
Okay, fair. That's
all
fair.
Right. So we will start off, we're just going to go in calendar order. And honestly, I probably need you guys' help when they start flipping around, like, you know, they've switched everybody's, or not everybody's, but a lot of these shows' slots around. So, I was like, what is Arrow doing on a Monday? This is stupid. So, but I'm just going to go in order. And on October 9th, The Flash comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very ready for this one.
Yeah, me too. At the end of last season, we got a tremendous cliffhanger of Barry and Iris's daughter, grown daughter, from the future, showing up at the baby shower. So that's a very Flash thing to happen.
It very much is, and I'm pretty excited about that development, actually, because she was just absolutely adorable in her appearances on the last season, and now she's going to be a series regular for this one. So I'm very much looking forward to having her on the show, because I think it's a fair criticism to say of last season that things got a little down in the dumps with Barry, and it seems like he just hasn't really just straight up enjoyed being the Flash for a while. And occasionally we'd get, if you'll pardon the pun, flashes of him enjoying it again. But he struggled, you know, and it felt like, okay, we understand this, being a superhero can be kind of tough, but isn't some of it fun? And when I saw her come in on this past season, and then especially in the season finale, I just saw that that youthful optimism comes through in her performance. So I'm looking forward to seeing if she can re-energize her dad.
Well, do you worry about it being like Flashpoint 2.0? You know, like she's truly her father's daughter by screwing up the timeline. Obviously, is what happened.
It's true, but only moderately so. But I think her presence is going to set up something that's not Flashpoint, but more Crisis-y in its appearance, especially since we know what's coming up in the annual crossover, which is pretty huge, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Miranda?
I don't know. My brain hurts from all of this, like, past, present, future, boom, all in a room together. Makes my head hurt.
So you don't dig it, or you do, or?
I think we've just done it so much, which I get that's Flash, and that's part of it is, I mean, when you can go so that, when you can literally travel as fast as he can, and you can zoom yourself to other places and time points, I mean, it's hard to just be like, oh, I don't want this on my show anymore, but at the same time, like, we just keep doing it.
Hmm.
That makes sense?
Well, I mean,
in a way, at least we don't have another speedster villain this season.
Right?
Yeah, let's talk about the villain. Chris Klein is going to be Cicada? Is that the name?
That is indeed the name. And I'm legit. At first I was like really legit excited because I thought they might actually adapt the comic story that his character comes from.
Uh-huh.
Because he is a Geoff Johns and Scott Collins creation.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, I'm pumped for that. But they're changing him up because in the comics, he's a cult leader who worships superheroes,
mm-hmm.
and murders them for nefarious reasons with a lightning bolt shaped dagger. Now, the lightning bolt shaped dagger is part of the story. We see that in the trailer, so mm-hmm. I know that's coming. And he is going to be murdering metahumans, but he's not a cult leader. So.
Hmm.
I'm also wondering if they're going to factor in the immortality aspect of him because he's a character who has been alive since the 1800s. But it kind of seems like they're not going that direction. Like he's going to be possibly a type of meta himself, but in a different fashion. But the only thing that gives me pause now is that it's Chris Klein, and I'm not expecting a powerful performance. So my expectations are lowered.
Yeah, I don't remember the last thing I saw Chris Klein in.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't remember, I mean, when it was. I mean, I'm sure IMDb would help us out, but I mean, he's more of a, like, I think of him 90s, you know? So right. I really haven't thought of him recently in anything. I mean, they're already giving him credit for a couple of episodes of The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's been in a few things here and there, but I don't know. I don't know this stuff. Yeah.
Mm.
We'll see, I guess. Maybe.
Maybe he'll be surprising.
Yeah. I could maybe see him being a bad guy, you know?
And that may give him new life. Maybe he's just not good at playing, you know, the baby face. Maybe mm-hmm. he just needs a good heel turn.
Right.
And, if that works, then maybe my good friend Jeremy Reynolds will turn around on Chris Klein, but I don't think that's happening. In fact, I would very much love to hear him commentate on I think it's the second episode, which is kind of surprising for our big bad to debut so early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other DC shows aren't debuting them quite that soon.
Mm-mm.
Like, think about Supergirl last season, it took forever for Rain to finally show up.
Right. Like, you knew, but it did take her for a while to, like, actually be a part of things.
Yep. Same with Damian Dark. He was mentioned in season 3 of Arrow, and we don't see him for a long time.
Right.
I'm kind of glad that they're doing it up front, you know, just kind of mixing it up a little bit.
I do really like that part, for sure.
And we did get Thinker very early in last mm-hmm. season.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, who else? We have to talk about Wally because
right.
Keenan. Shoot, what's his name?
I can't ever remember his name, but I'm going to look it up for you.
Yes, please do.
I will look that up.
Anyway, the actor that plays Wally is not coming back, although I think he is in the first, like, three episodes.
What was the reasoning for that?
Don't know the reasoning, but I know that he also left Legends of Tomorrow, where he was a series regular last season. So his name is Keenan Lonsdale.
Yes. Oh, thank you. You
and I think this is just a point where he felt like he, you know, like Colton Haynes, he felt like leaving the show, leaving Arrow a good while back, and they didn't kill his character off. They just allowed him to walk away for a while, and now he's going to be back as a series regular on Arrow this season. So I'm thinking this is not the last we have seen of Wally West. I think he'll be back at some point down the road. Just maybe he felt like he needed a break from the hustle and bustle of this show.
That's fair.
That makes sense. I just am wondering how that's going to take place. Because if it's just, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, he's not here. I don't like when that happens. When they're like, oh, he's not here.
Well, I'm sure,
you know, it's like no real explanation.
Oh, like when Thea goes to find herself every other season?
Right.
Yeah. Well, now she's just off Arrow completely. Yeah. Right. And I figure what we're going to see here, though, is more like when Colton Haynes left Arrow. They actually gave Roy Harper an exit. Mm-hmm. They gave him a legit ending. I feel like you're going to get that with Wally. And, of course, they'll leave that door cracked open just in case he wants to come back.
So I looked up an interview and his, like, reason, his answer of, like, why he was leaving. I still find it completely vague. He just says, I've changed a lot in the past year, and you probably noticed that. And for infinite reasons, my perspective on life and what I want from now on is just completely different. Because of that, my heart told me it was the right time to continue my journey on an unknown path, and I'm damn grateful to both shows for honoring and respecting that with me.
Yeah, sounds a lot like the reasoning Colton Haynes gave whenever he left Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I think that that's just a Thea going to find herself moment, right? Like for this actor.
It's, you know, him being respectful of the showrunners and, you know, trying to not, you know, it's a graceful exit. There's no controversy. So. There's no drama. Right. It's just, you know, it just feels like
one of the things. Even if there is, like, even if there is some sort of controversy or turmoil with the show, no one is making it known. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that.
I feel like there's a very good, like, gel between all the cast, and I never get the feeling that there's any sort of, like, shakeups or anything.
Mm-mm.
Over there.
Cast is all pretty tight.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about with The Flash?
Very much looking forward to where this is all leading, honestly, because I've had discussions with the other members of the comics contingent, and I think we're all kind of, like, got that leg shake nervousness going on. Mm-hmm. where we're thinking, could this conceivably head to a merging of Earths down the road? Not in this year's crossover, but maybe next year's. So we're all kind of feeling a little bit of that static charge, you know, like, could this be about to happen? Is this the opening salvo of that? Because mm-hmm. it feels like it could be.
Awesome.
I'd be okay with that. Totally okay with that.
Oh, what do you think about the new suit?
I'm digging it. I think that it looks very comics accurate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've enjoyed the little and they've never really just wholesale full changed the costume on us.
Yeah.
It's just been little tweaks here and there that probably do lead up to, you know, one big change. But still, I think it's a really good looking suit. The only suit that I'm not digging right now is Nora's, honestly. I don't care for the look of it. I feel like it's, I don't know, a little on the puffy side for me. that whole like fold over thing.
I thought it looks very Power Rangers to me.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're
right. No, it does. It absolutely does. And I'm hoping that her suit's going to get tweaked before the end of the season. I guess I'm just a fan of the onesie style suit, mm-hmm. especially for a speedster, because her suit looks like it would create a lot of drag. And I just don't, I don't think it's a very good looking suit, but at least she is very charming and her performance is going to be great. So that mm-hmm. end is going to be just fine. And I'll probably not find the suit all that distracting if the performance is good.
I agree.
I think that's interesting that they got, an actress that she does kind of actually look like she could be their kid.
Yeah, good casting on their part. Finding somebody that looks the part and can actually, you know, have a decent commanding presence.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She looks super familiar, too.
Yeah, I keep thinking that, too. I haven't looked her up yet, though. Now, the same night, on the 9th, we have Black Lightning returning with their second season.
I'm going to have to let you guys go ahead and talk about this one, because honestly, I only got... let me preface it by saying, I have every intention of watching this. It's just one of those, because it was mid-season, it kept getting, like, to the back of my mind, pushed away. I have watched 2 episodes, but that's not enough of me to really be like, I feel this, or I feel that. So, I'm going to have to let you guys kind of, like, take the floor on this one.
Well, I'm going to kind of, like, have to let Russell do that, because I only watched, like, half the first season. But
so, you got a little further in than I did, then.
Yes, but I did like that trailer a lot.
I did, too.
And I was like, and so I couldn't tell if some of the trailer was recap, which I could tell some of it was recap from last mm-hmm. season, and what is season 2. Russell, help me out with right. that.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and spoil the ending for you guys.
Oh, no, it's okay.
The ASA is pretty much defeated at the end of season 1, but Tobias Hoyle. Is still very much alive and around. This show did the smart thing that I still criticize the first season of Luke Cage for doing, and that was killing off its most interesting villain.
Right.
This show did not do that. In fact, Tobias Hoyle, if you will,
Hoyle.
is going to be the primary villain of season 2, just like he was in season 1. So that's going to continue forward. You've also got Painkiller coming back, who was Khalil. He was the former boyfriend of the younger Pierce's daughter, Jennifer. Yeah, he was her former boyfriend, and now he is a supervillain working for Tobias. You've also got his female bodyguard, henchwoman, if you will, Cyanide. Mm-hmm. She's going to, of course, be back. So you've got the trifecta of these 3 villains. But what I'm expecting to be a big part of this season is going to be Jennifer getting her suit and becoming Lightning. So you will have Thunder and Lightning basically stepping forward to be probably more of the show's centerpiece rather than Black Lightning himself, because Jefferson is, you know, a bit older. He's come out of retirement, and this whole show was supposed to be about building up the younger generation. And we also have, I'm probably going to butcher her last name, but Sophia Vasileva. I can't pronounce her last name, but it's whatever. She was on Supergirl as a member of a cult last season. You might remember her from near the end of the season, actually.
Yeah.
She has been cast as the DC Comics outsider member Looker for this season. So they've mentioned the Outsiders a few times in season 1 of Black Lightning, and I think we're slowly moving towards that being a big part of the show. Like, we're going to have a reestablishment of the Outsiders, which would be a really cool thing and make a lot of sense, because in the comics right now, Batman and the Outsiders is about to relaunch with Black Lightning as the leader.
Oh.
So that's all going to be a nice little bit of synergy. At the end of season 1, you had a whole bunch of kids in what looked like gigantic test tubes.
Yes.
All of them appearing as different metahumans. So those are probably going to start to be identified and either become heroes or villains as this season goes along and Tobias tries to build up his new metahuman army.
Yeah, that was a really interesting scene in the trailer. I was like, what is going on this show? Because it looked very sci-fi and it was just unexpected.
Yeah, they're leaning way heavier into that, I think, this coming up season. But you're still going to get a lot of the really great social commentary that the show is known for, because it kept that throughout season one. It never lost sight of it. So I would expect more of it, along with probably a slightly bigger budget for season two, because season one was such a hit. Better effects and, look out for more recognizable DC Comics characters. And I'm personally hoping for a return of Lala, a.k.a. the Tattooed Man.
All right.
Well, better effects makes sense to me because with any show, obviously you don't throw your full budget in season one, but you definitely want to see where you can go and if it's going to be of interest. And then when you gain the following, giving it more money, whoever the backers are, the studio and all of that, they feel more inclined to do so because they're like, okay, we've already gained these people, but if we make it better, we can keep these people and gain even more. So I would like to see that as well. Just from the two episodes that I did watch, I really enjoyed it. But, any first season of something on the CW usually does have a little bit lower of a budget for whatever reason.
When I was reading about this today, I guess I knew this, but I forgot that I knew this, that Black Lightning is in its own universe and it's not necessarily connected yet with the Arrowverse. Do we want that? Do we want them to connect or do we want to keep it separate?
Eventually, I think it's going to, whether we want it to or not.
I agree.
But I'm in favor of all of this eventually being one universe. I think that it's kind of annoying that Supergirl is still on her own Earth rather than being part of the other, where the other three main shows are, because they've done really not a lot to expand her Earth. And from what we understand, what I've understood so far is Batwoman may not be part of Supergirl's Earth. She may be part of the Earth that Arrow is on.
I was about to ask that, actually.
And if that's the case, if they were going to expand Supergirl's Earth a bit more and maybe have some spinoff shows that related to that, okay, that could be cool. We could really make something of this. But it doesn't seem like there's much push to do that. So I'm thinking as one big piece of casting news has come out very recently about the Monitor coming to the big crossover event. I feel like we're setting the stage for all of these Earths to wind up having their histories melded together and creating a new Earth, which could mean any number of things. But I think that it would be to everybody's benefit if all these shows were able to take place on the same Earth, but they still don't necessarily have to interact with each other all the time. They don't already. Flash and Arrow pretty much keep to themselves until the crossover comes around. So it really wouldn't be that much of a change to shake this up just a little bit.
I think I'm for it, too. I don't know. I like the cohesion of everybody on the same universe.
I think it's because they just work so well together when we do have those crossovers, and pretty much everyone does completely enjoy the crossover. So maybe that's the reason why in our brains and our hearts, we kind of like that cohesive, we're all family, we're all together unit that presents, possibly.
And I'm still hoping that maybe they'll get this idea in their heads that they could do movie versions of certain ones of these characters, specifically since Superman doesn't have a show and it seems like we're struggling to get a Superman movie. Why not give Tyler Hoechlin his own movie as Superman?
Really?
Why not?
You don't like him?
I just... I mean, that's fine. I mean, why not? Let's try that.
I think he was a great Superman. I think that he could.
I like him a lot.
They don't have to fix that fucking outfit, though.
Oh, my God. You were the only one that had a problem with his outfit. I was not looking at that.
She really does hate the it's just the cape, though, isn't it? It's just the way it connects on the shoulders.
The way it attaches, it's almost like it's just there. And I didn't even notice that until Jenny was like, oh, my God, let's talk about this suit. And I was like, oh, my God, that's not where my eyes were.
It's just so distracting.
Miranda, you're telling on yourself.
I told on myself a while ago.
Wow, that's true. You have a habit.
Okay.
I don't know. I just wasn't expecting anybody to say that, so just kind of threw me.
we're gonna find out in the crossover, because we're gonna get a brand new Lois Lane.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
We've never had, and in the TV world of Superman and Batman and all of that, we've not had a Lois. Obviously, we've had Clark, you know, shows before, mm-hmm. but this like iteration,
right?
We've never had Lois. I think the name Lois has been dropped several times. But we've never actually seen her.
Yeah, they mentioned her in season one of Supergirl. Yeah. Like she was always mentioned. She was always part of of that world, because I mean Superman was too, but you didn't see either of them. Mm-hmm. And I figure, you know, if you're going to start bringing in these pieces of Superman's world and introducing us to these characters, all you're really doing is opening up that door for people to ask about either a Superman show or a Superman movie. And I'm thinking, if the powers that be at WB were really smart, they would embrace what's working in this universe and transition certain people into being movie stars and moving them out of television so as to not necessarily overwork them. Like I think Grant Gustin, for example, is a strong enough leading man that he's a movie star. He's a movie star working in television. He just needs that big moment in front of a larger audience. And I think that he could easily carry a Flash movie and do it really well. I think his supporting cast would be really great in that too.
Yeah, I think the WB has excelled at doing smart things. I'm sure they will get right on that.
Yeah, they'll get to that right after the Jared Leto Joker movie.
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Are we done? We're done with Black Lightning.
Right? Yeah. Very, very excited for Black Lightning Season 2. It's going to be, I think it stands a strong chance of being just as good as Season 1.
Awesome. All right. So, on October 10th, we have the return of Riverdale.
Yay!
So, mm-hmm. We've talked about Riverdale a couple times, and
we have
across Place to Be Nation Pop podcast world. Miranda, tell me about Riverdale.
So Riverdale season two actually switched from what I liked so much about season one, which was that weird, cheesy whodunit murder mystery. Mm-hmm. Like they wrapped all that up season one. Well, kind of. And then season two is more like killer on the loose, pitting friends against each other. I've heard several people, I never thought about it this way, but they're like, we get to see Betty be dark. And I'm like, okay. Sure, if that's how you want to describe it. We kind of ended season two where Betty and her dad are kind of locked together in this Hannibal Lecter style, which is what they're describing it as on a couple different places, but they're kind of locked up behind a pane of glass, and Archie is then arrested for murder, and I'm trying to think what else happened. I don't know. I did not find season two as great as season one. Did still enjoy it. It's very like cheesy fun, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, it does, but...
For me, it's another one of those, like, not everybody's going to like it, to each his own, but, mm-hmm. I mean, it is apparently doing really well. The statistic numbers coming in of, like, who's watching and who's not, and once again, Jenny, hate watching counts as watching.
Mm-hmm. I believe you.
they've been, the numbers are high and people want this to continue.
Yeah, that's true. No doubt about that.
But I mean, they kind of switched lanes and I don't know. I don't know how I feel about season three yet.
Isn't it season two though?
No.
Okay. Well,
this will be season three.
Will it?
Yes, ma'am.
Fuck.
Season one was the one with the whole like who done it, who killed Jason, Archie always shirtless sleeping with the teacher. Then season two was the one that came on last year.
What the fuck did I watch today then?
I don't know what you watched. What did you watch?
I watched.
Tell me what you watched.
Fuck if I know.
Yes, season two's. They talk about the teacher thing again, but it's more of Jughead is now taken up with the biker gang and is at the other school. And
oh well, I must have just watched like a recap of season two then.
Probably.
Okay. Well, I guess it doesn't matter.
I'm legit curious to see how all of this ultimately leads to Jughead doing a rap version of Sugar Sugar.
Yes.
To a 9-year-old girl. I mean, that's the only logical place that all of this can go.
Right.
So I've just got to see that, and I've got to see how ultimately Archie forms like this new, like really just shitty band, including members of like the Riverdale gang that he screwed over over the course of a really awful made for TV movie. But the good news is for him, eventually he'll be a natural redhead.
Because
he is, I don't know what they've done to his hair in that show, but that's not red. That's purple.
Yeah. It's really the contrast between the hair and the eyebrows that just hurts my eyes.
I don't have eyebrows, so I try not to knock too many people for their eyebrows. Unless they're making, like, dumb McDonald arches and putting sequins and shit like that all up on them.
Like, I'm not making kind of fun of his eyebrows. I'm just saying, like, why can it not be, like, it's just the, I don't know, just the contrast in colors.
Looks weird.
I just don't understand why this show continues to exist, but there it is. And you know what? I if Jughead would just eat like a whole tray of hamburgers at least once.
I wish they had have stuck to like he's teeny tiny, but he has this huge, you know, portions of. There's a way to make a show and have it like a completely different version of something that people have always liked, but stick it like. For example, Jenny and I talked about this in the last episode, but just to give you an example, like the Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, there are huge differences, but they kept portions of the character, his interests, some of his backs, like things like that. Like I feel like if you take a show like Riverdale, which came from, you know, obviously the Archie comics, there are things that they could have kept and still made the show like they wanted to, like you said. Have him have, like, this stupid, crazy metabolism where he's always eating and he's always hungry. And, you know, just, I know they're silly things, but just little things like that, I would actually kind of prefer.
Or fully embrace Return to Riverdale and give him the worst comb-over in history.
What?
I mean, it would be great, you know, and where's the annoying kid that everybody's going to, you know, hate, but also kind of cheer whenever he kicks Archie in the shins? We can't make up our minds how we feel about him. Return to Riverdale is really a fantastic show. Everyone
really
should go watch it.
Yes, agreed.
It's on YouTube for free.
Yeah, just watch it. All right. My notes for this says, what the actual fuck? And so...
Is that for Riverdale, your notes are just, what the actual fuck?
Yes. Which it makes sense, considering I watched something that's completely not what I was supposed to watch.
So I will tell you, it has an 8 out of 10 from TV.com, and it's 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean...
And 97% of Google users thumbs up this show. I mean, so I understand it's not for everybody, so I'm not trying to convince you guys that, like, you're wrong and you should like it, because clearly not everything is supposed to be for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I just... You both are like, I don't understand, but I guess the other...
No, I understand. I just
like,
don't
people
agree.
Just really, really like this show.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I will say, Jenny, that I definitely don't, because let me ask you this. If you took Jughead from this show and you put him next to Chris Hemsworth, fucking Thor, which of these two individuals do you think is more attractive?
Well, you know both of our answers, but that has, I don't think that's entirely anything to do with it.
It does. It has.
No, I think it's the age range that are watching the show, to be honest with you.
Because when Jughead is declared a more attractive specimen than Chris Hemsworth, something is wrong with the world.
Well,
I say this is a completely straight male, but this is that makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
The only thing I can think of is the reason that people would think that is some people really aren't into like big muscles. They're into like just everyday dude. That makes sense.
If oh boy, I hope Jughead is not an example of the everyday dude. Oh God, it makes my this whole exercise just makes my brain hurt.
I don't know. It's a hard concept when you talk about that level because I'm like, I don't know. I don't get that. I'm just speculating, like, reasons why, possibly, because I'm going to pick Hemsworth. Like, duh.
It's just...
Hemsworth short hair. Let me rephrase that.
And, you know, that's an interesting, like, take. Like, you don't dig on the long hair, but as soon as he cuts it off, it's like, oh, shit.
No, when he was in, he's like, don't cut my hair. And then he came out, I was like, yes, please.
She's snorting over this. She's going to watch Thor Ragnarok as soon as we're done.
No, unfortunately, my medicated self is going to have my husband drive me to Dothan, unfortunately.
Okay, so.
Watch it on your phone.
After Riverdale, there's a premiere of a new show called All American. I actually got really caught up in this trailer, and it was like 90210 meets Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
So
a small helping of the Blind Side.
Yeah. So, you know, that's interesting. It's,
definitely,
you know, I like the story is actually inspired by a real NFL player, Spencer Paysinger, who I don't know who that is, but I think that's awesome. And it is from Greg Berlanti, who, you know, does all the other shows that we like.
He does all the shows.
Yes. All right. So what do you guys think about this one?
Trailer definitely has that like soap opera-y like 90210 thing going on. But also you mix in the football element and... Am I wrong? Was that Taye Diggs in the trailer?
It is Taye Diggs.
It is Taye Diggs playing the coach. You know, I think this one has real potential. I was pretty impressed with the performances I was seeing in the trailer. So, I mean, you know, I have to see the finished product to see if that holds up. But overall, not a bad trailer. One that I could see actually winding up being a kind of an interesting direction for CW because I can't remember the last time they even attempted a sports drama.
Probably which I enjoyed it, but I'm going to say it's been about 5 or 6 years ago when it was kind of sort of a sports drama, but not really in the sense that it evolved around like competitive cheerleading. It was called Hellcats.
Oh yeah.
I liked it a lot, but, I guess that would be the closest thing.
Yeah, that was on CW Seed for a little while. Never bothered watching it, but I do remember seeing something of that show. I am aware of its existence, at least.
I guess that would be the last show.
Yeah, this looks nothing like that.
Oh, no, not at all. I adored the trailer, but you were just saying I don't know when the last time they've done something, and that's honestly the only thing I can think of that would remotely possibly follow in.
Miranda, what do you think?
I really did enjoy the trailer. It grabbed my attention, which is what a trailer is supposed to do. And like you said, you're like, whoa, Taye Diggs, huh? I'm going to give it a shot, at least, to try to give it that go and see what happens. I do really enjoy football. So I feel like because I usually like what the CW puts out product-wise, and I enjoy football, I feel like – and I do – I do kind of like that drama aspect. So I don't know. I think it could be really good. It has, like, exactly like Russell said. I hate to say it has potential like he did, but honestly, that's kind of how I feel as well. It has high potential, high hopes, because, I mean, if you've noticed from the list of CW shows this year, there are a lot that came out last year and the year before that never got a season two.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I'm kind of hoping that they can bring something out new this year that will go for a while. I mean, which means that there's less room for new shows on CW, but, you know, if it's good content, I don't care that they're not really giving us anything new, if that makes sense.
I'm with you on the football thing, too. I liked Friday Night Lights and
I love that show.
Football movies and shit like that. So, I'm down for this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the next one on October 11th. I'm just laughing because it's the 429th season of Supernatural.
It is not the 409th season.
It's the 430th.
Yeah, like legit, I went to type in Supernatural season, and I went, I have no fucking clue what season they're on at this point. And I think it was 15?
Yes, this will be 15.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so
15.
Y'all talk to me about Supernatural.
Okay.
It's, oh boy. last season, we had some interesting stuff going on. And it felt like, all right, we're building towards an ending. And I've just come to understand this about Supernatural. Every year, it feels like we're going to finally build towards the end. This show is going to finally just embrace an ending. And they find a way to drag it out even further. And now, they have successfully eliminated the only interesting part from this show, which is Dean Winchester. Dean will not be part of this show for at least, I think, the first half of the season.
Really?
Maybe I think it's less longer than you think.
It could be, but I could see it going longer because they've advertised this, and you're going to try to keep your eyes from crossing, folks, an alternate dimension version of the Archangel Michael.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. That is what has happened, and he has taken over the body of Dean Winchester and is now running around in this vessel, also doing a kind of Hannibal Lecter impression. Will it be kind of?
Why is CW like bringing in Hannibal Lecter shit? They did it on Riverdale too. Like,
it's going to be apparently it's going to be a common theme this season, and I got to tell you, if we are really going to put Supernatural on the shoulders of Jared Padalecki, I am just going to Seinfeld GIF right out of this.
I don't understand why you hate him so much.
He is a block of wood.
No,
he has no personality whatsoever in this or anything else he's ever been in. The star of this show is Jensen Ackles. He's where the meat and potatoes of all this is. Sidelining him is a terrible mistake, and they're making it even worse by having Mama Winchester still around.
Which I'm not sure why she's still around. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know why she's still there. Like, dear God, like, let the lady just die already.
It's like she's here, and she's actually making this show actively worse. It's
well, I mean, like, because please. Your mom is now the same age as you are, running around, killing shit with you, sleeping with dudes that are the same age. Like, I'm just saying, I'm creeped out by that.
The whole exercise is just, it's a process of bad writing, and it just keeps fucking going with no end in sight. I don't think that it's going to end even after this season.
Nope.
And I don't get why they've tried on multiple occasions this Wayward Sisters thing going.
Oh, I was really, truly bummed that did not happen.
I kind of was too, because I really like Jodie a lot, and I think that she would be great in that kind of Bobby Singer role.
Mm-hmm.
But the other girls that they had picked out were not very good. But I think
that's where you give them a season one and you give them a chance to see, you know, what needs to be done, how they can improve, how they can be better, that kind of thing. And I don't know why they just completely canned it. But, okay.
We do have a show coming that could be a lot like Wayward Sisters, and I think actually do it a little bit better, but we'll talk about that
in a
few minutes. But yeah, Supernatural needs to just come to an end already, and this will be officially 10 seasons longer than the show was initially planned to go.
Wow.
That's amazing. It was. They never had intentions of it going this long, and the guys work well together, and they have both said, which I've mentioned this here before, they've both said they will continue, like, they are cool with going however long the writers and CW and all of the people involved will allow them. They love coming to work every day. They still enjoy doing what they do.
Because they know what awaits them whenever this show ends.
All of the money.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, they're going to be loaded. I mean,
they'll have money, but they will not have work.
Well, why is Jensen not in the show for a bit? Is he working on something else?
No, he's in the show.
He's not Dean Winchester.
Okay, gotcha.
He is playing Michael, and Michael is an uninteresting block of wood.
Michael is not a super great character. There's no Lucifer
for him to play off of because they eliminated him. And I'm like, all right, so you've done away with Crowley, and now you've done away. They killed Crowley. They got rid of Lucifer. They killed Lucifer at the end of this last season. So we're just supposed to say, all right, well, Michael is going to be our new big bad. I'm sorry. There's already one block of wood on this show. We don't need to. It's just not – this is not going to work. But I keep waiting for the Supernatural loyalists to finally turn on the show enough to turn the set off. But it's just – I don't know. How many people are really just watching this out of habit at this point?
There probably are several.
That's how I felt watching it last season. I was like, am I watching this because I enjoyed it or is it out of habit?
But I will say, like, I actually talked to a couple of girls this weekend at Geek Girl Brunch. And I will say there are still it's kind of like Riverdale. People wonder, like, why is this still happening? It's still happening because you wouldn't believe the following of people that are not watching it out of habit are watching it because they absolutely still love and adore and worship the show and all things it gives.
And that's mind-blowing. But here we are. Folks are going to watch what they're going to watch, but I think me and Supernatural are finally parting ways. I think I can just walk away here and say, that's enough.
I'm not parting ways. As a matter of fact, I've been pricing my ticket to the Supernatural convention. It actually is on my birthday this year.
Really?
They have one every year in Nashville. They only do a small handful of them, like two or three. Throughout the U.S., and the reason they do that is because pretty much everyone from the show is present. You buy your ticket, though. It's expensive. Mm. Your one ticket is super expensive, but it includes, like, you know how later you have to pay for this or you have to pay for that. You don't have to. Nope. Your ticket includes anything you want to do while you're there unless you're buying, like, whatever you want to buy gender-wise. Yeah. Like, you get – that's all the panels. That's autographs. That's photo time. That's everything.
As critical as I am, legit still would go to that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, they said Jensen and them just walk around like the con floor. They're like, what's up? What's up? They go to dinner, kind of like Barrowman does. They go to dinner there in Nashville. That's where the video of him singing Tennessee Whiskey from that place in Nashville actually happened. It's because they were there during the convention. So him and Jared just walk around like downtown Nashville, go eat with, they'll stop and... So, yeah, I'm like,
isn't Captain Marvel coming out on your birthday?
It is. So I'm trying to logistically figure some shit out right now. Mm-hmm. So that, and I'll be at Disney the week before that. So I'm like, fuck.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can totally do both.
I could, sure. But there I'm are sure a lot of people.
There's a movie theater in Nashville, I'm sure.
Oh, I know. Oh, there's lots of movie theaters in Nashville, and I know exactly which one I would go to, but it was kind of one of those, like, I was going to go specifically I mean, I could do a Thursday night show, too. There's that.
There you go. Do the late show.
All right. On Friday the 12th, we have Dynasty, which I'm sure both of you watched.
Actually, I never did.
Still a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Still a thing. Still a thing. They got two seasons. Apparently, people are adoring this one, too. And this is where I will say, I don't get it.
All right. Moving on to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes. Final season, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. And you're the one who watches that, right?
I am the one who watches that. I was bummed when I found out that this was going to be a final season, but the main character and who is also like the writer producer for the show, Rachel Bloom, kind of explains like she wanted to go out on a specific note, and this is something that they've known, which they didn't tell anyone else. Like they've told it, like they didn't tell anyone until recently, but that they've always known, like, this is how I wanted it to end. This is how I wanted like things to play out and where to go from here. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine, I guess. And I think season, I'm sorry, my brain is dead. I don't remember if this will be season. Yes, it will be season 5. And it had, what is his name? We've talked about him before. Anyway, they brought in like a new love interest last year. She's basically working on herself because for all intents and purposes, she is truly crazy. Like there's something wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
They diagnose her with a disorder. So she has to go to, treatments. And during this, she's not really supposed to date it. They don't recommend it because part of her crazy comes from like dating and bad, relationships and things that have happened in the past, but she's kind of sort of, seeing this guy whose name is Nathaniel on the show. For the life of me, I cannot remember his name, but we have talked about him before. And I'm not real sure what they're going to do. The trailer that I watched was super, almost like a recap, like you found with Riverdale. It was almost more of a recap than it was an actual trailer. But I'll see. I will say, if you've not ever watched the show before, the songs are hysterical, and they do, like, sing a lot, so it's more like a musical show. So it's when we get musical editions of the shows we like, imagine that kind of every episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're hysterical. They are not for children. So, again, I guess we'll see, like, how they do it. But since they knew in advance that they only wanted a specific story and they wanted to stop it, a certain point, I'm hoping that means they will close it out in a good way. Like actually give you closure, mm-hmm. In like dropping it out and making that go. So no, I apologize. It's going to be the 4th season.
Okay.
I thought it was 5 for some reason. It's going to be 18 episodes long, and it kind of, starts as Rebecca, who is the main character played by Rachel Bloom. She's dealing with the consequences of pleading guilty to an attempted murder.
Hmm.
But she's pleading guilty due to insanity, I believe it is.
Well, yes. She's crazy, so that makes sense.
She is. She is legit crazy, but like she, at first you're like, man, she cray cray. But you kind of feel bad for her when it like goes back on like the way her mom treats her and raised her and, mm-hmm. And things like that. She also previously in one of the, I think it was the beginning, I think it was the story that we led into starting last season. There's been, the show is funny and kind of weird sometimes, but they hit on some heavy topics too. As she actually tried to commit suicide at one point because she took a bunch of pills of mm-hmm. like, I don't remember what they were, but they made her feel better. So she would take one and she was like, everything goes away. Kind of like that medicated high you get from certain medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So she took a bunch and on a airplane. And that's how they were like, okay, you need legit help. So it does hit on some heavy topics. But does it in a way that you want to pay attention, if that makes sense. I feel like I say that if that makes sense a lot. But I'm never sure if people understand what I'm trying to convey.
No, sometimes. I think we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this looks like a good place for a break. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah. All
right. Well, stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Bad Boys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Sassy, Jenny and Miranda and Russell talking to you about CW shows this fall. What do we think so far?
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing to say that I'm more interested in some of the new shows that are coming to CW than I am about a lot of the returning ones. I mean, aside from the DC shows, mm-hmm. which of course are, you know, top billing for me every year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm kind of legit interested in what's going to go on with this this All-American show. So that's kind of surprising the hell out of me right now. But this next half that we're going to talk about, I actually have a show that I'm surprised at my interest level in it for this coming up year.
What I think it is. All
right. We'll get there. All right. So we're on October 14th and
we are?
The yep. premiere of Supergirl on a Sunday mm-hmm. night.
I think I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we've talked about this, and I will like probably talk about this till I'm blue in the face and the world ends. But changing a night can really affect things. But in that sense, what competition does yes, football. Yes. Okay. I get that. Cause I'm a football fan. Cool. But other than that, what do we have that really airs at that time slot on a Sunday night?
Simpsons?
Right, but I mean, in the day of DVR, especially.
Mm. Like, true, I mean,
Simpsons football, I mean, that's really...
And I think Supergirl on a Sunday night is fine. I mean, it's trying to gear itself as more of the, like, the family show of the DC pantheon. Mm-hmm. So I think that putting it on a Sunday night actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And would position it as a show that families could, you know, hey, the weekend is ending. Let's sit down and watch a show that has something for everybody. And I feel like Supergirl is one of those shows that really does. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm personally really looking forward to seeing their interpretation of Manchester Black on this season. He is a really great Superman villain. I think he could be a pretty tremendous Supergirl villain.
Is this, what season is this? Because my brain is starting to, like, mush things together.
This will be four.
Yeah. Four? Okay.
Yep.
And we have some changes to the cast as well.
We do.
Wynn is not coming back.
That makes me, like, super duper sad.
Mon-El is not coming back.
Oh, I'm going to cry so much.
Yeah, that is, both of those are big bummers.
Yeah, and Samantha, too, I think is gone.
Who?
Samantha Rain.
She was kind of one that, I mean, I really didn't see her being there for more than one, maybe two seasons.
Yeah.
I really liked her. I'm kind of hoping she does come back at some point, maybe not as Rain, but she was a really great addition to the show.
Mm-hmm.
The more Lena Luthor I get, the happier I am.
I agree.
That, I was going to say.
When it comes to the support cast, yeah, it's going to be missing something with Wynn being gone. But I will give them credit for their casting of Brainiac 5. He's legit funny. And
I like him. He's been on other things before. Because when I saw him, I'm like, wait, that's... I like
him. That he's a series regular now makes me pretty happy. And Mon-El is not necessarily gone forever. He'll just be not a series regular. He'll be maybe popping in like what we got with Wally West over on The Flash.
Right.
He'll show up here and there. And I'm okay with that, you know, for a season, maybe two, so long as the show remains successful. And if the door is open for him to come back, and we know the door is open for Wynn to come back, it's just and we know he's going to appear actually in this coming up season. He's just not going to be regular character.
You have to be in at least a certain amount of episodes on a show to be considered a season or series regular. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. And I think he's only going to be in like maybe four.
Okay.
So really low number for him and Mon-El, but, yeah, that sucks. But there's still hope that we're going to get some really good comedy out of Brainiac 5. He was really funny last season. And, of course, there's Alex and Jean are still in this show, and I'm very much looking forward to getting more of them.
Yep.
And the less screen time we give to James Olsen.
Oh, my God. You guys shut up.
Never. He sucks.
No, my deal with Mon-El is like, what does Kara do? Like at this point, is she gonna just continue to moon over him? Is she get over him? If he keeps popping in, then what is their relationship?
Well I do agree. That's a tough question, and I wonder. I don't know if they'd go there or not, but if we're gonna go comic book accurate, that is not who Kara winds up with. She dates a pretty long-term Brainiac 5.
Oh, okay.
So that is still, I think, very much in play, especially with him being a series regular now and Mon-El being gone. If they're going to go, if they're going to steer into the comics, then we could maybe see the relationship of Supergirl and Brainiac 5 actually be a thing.
Right.
Huh. All right.
Well, and I think I need them to decide at this point. Like, is she getting over him and he's going to pop in every now and then because it's inevitable that he does, but she's going to be over him? Or does she's like, nope, that's who I'm with. You know, I tried to go on a few dates, not working. I love Mon-El.
Yeah,
I need them to decide.
And you're right. It could go either way because, I mean, it's not like Arrow followed the traditional comic book platform of Oliver and Black Canary winding up together. He's very much with Felicity, and they have steered fully into that and said, you know what, we're not gonna do the comic book thing. Mm-hmm. And you know what, I think the show's all the better for it.
And if
Supergirl were to find a way to steer fully into the Kara and Mon-El do finally fully wind up together, I will not complain one slight little bit, because I think Mon-El was a fantastic addition to the show.
I agree.
So much agree. What about, aren't they adapting a Superman story?
They are. Interestingly enough, an Elseworld story. They are adapting Red Sun, which the premise of that very simply is, what if Superman's rocket, whenever he was coming to Earth, landed in Soviet-era Russia rather than the middle of Kansas, and he was raised under the flag of Stalin and as a communist hero. Of course, we saw at the end of last season a copy of Kara landed in Russia, and supposedly she's kind of a blank slate, doesn't know who she is, just has superpowers, and is turned into a Russian soldier weapon. Now, I'm of two minds about that, because on the one hand, Red Sun is a really great story, but we have seen Supergirl tangle with Kryptonian-style villains every single season of this show so far. It is time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have a lot of hope here, though, because Manchester Black is going to be in this show, and he has got to be a big, big deal on this show, because Manchester Black is a huge Superman villain. So I think that maybe this will not last the entire season, or at least I hope it doesn't. And we've got another villain in Rona Mitra, I think is how you pronounce her last name. She is playing Mercy Graves, who is
right.
Lex Luthor's longtime driver and bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
So she is supposed to be portrayed as very witty, incredibly smart, but also a physical threat to somebody like Alex, like, because she's going to be like super skilled in hand-to-hand combat. So cool. I'm looking for something like that to like really break this show wide open in some of the subplots. There's potential in this season, but there's also the potential that they're just going to wind up repeating themselves, and I really hope that doesn't happen.
I hope so too, but unfortunately, CW is good at repeating themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's you're not wrong. They have done it in the past. They've done it with Flash. They've done it with Arrow. They've done it with, to a much lesser extent, on Legends of Tomorrow. That show at least, you know, does something holy crazy and fun every single season.
That's true. Very true. I mean, Giant Bebo, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Bebo is like my spirit animal right now.
You know, Jenny and I looked up once to see if you could buy your own version of Bebo, and you can. It's expensive, but you can get a Bebo.
God, I think I would.
Some, you know, my birthday's soon. I'm just saying.
Are you telling me you want a Bebo?
I'm just saying. Yes.
Does it have to be a talking one?
No.
I forget if this one talked or not. Where did we find it? Was it on Etsy, Jenny, that we found
it? I think so, yeah.
It was like the only place we found it was on Etsy, and it was a Bebo. Yeah. I don't remember if it talked or not.
All right. Anything else about Supergirl?
Nope. Just I will definitely be tuning in to see it.
Yes, me
and,
too.
And since it's on Sunday nights, I might actually be able to watch it live.
Look at you.
I know, right?
Hmm.
Yes. He is between, it depends on the size, he's between $54 and $68.
Hmm.
That is an expensive. Bebo, well, pricey.
Well, apparently they went crazy because it says back in stock due to demand. There is a 3-4 wait on this item. So, I mean, apparently, I mean, she found it. This lady selling them on Etsy found the hole that needed to be filled and was like, I got you, boo.
Giggity.
I like it when my hole gets filled.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to fill your hole for $68.
I'm just saying that's a good rate.
Okay. Is that the goat?
I usually charge a lot more than that.
Okay. Okay. So I get the best friends discount.
Yeah, you get a podcast co-host discount of $2. All right.
We would have said that's the friends and family discount, but that sounds weird.
Y'all know my kinks. Anyway, after Supergirl on that Sunday night, we have a reboot of Charmed. Show that you were talking about, Russell?
Yeah, actually it is.
I knew it.
This is the one I watched. I just watched the trailer for it today. It was the extended one that just came out. And as I'm watching, I'm like, so basically CW figured out how to do that Wayward Sisters thing, but do it right. And they did it on a remake of Charmed, because this is far more interesting with better actresses. I found myself really like getting invested in what's happening with these girls, the mystery at the center of it all. And, you know, it's kind of following in a trend that's happening right now, because we got that new Sabrina show that's going to be starting up on Netflix. And while that show is definitely going to go, I think, even like way darker and more, and can be more graphic because of the place that it is placed.
Right.
This show still looks like it's very in keeping with the spirit of the original Charmed, maybe in a less eye candy sort of way, but still very much in keeping with the mystery of it, the action side of it, and then the camaraderie of the three sisters. That's really what this show is going to live and die by, is whether or not you had good chemistry with your leads. And, I mean, these three girls are going to be doing lots of scenes together, so they better be able to play off each other and make this entertaining. And what I saw in this trailer makes me think that they actually do have a strong amount of chemistry together. They are going to do just fine. Whether or not the show is going to be interesting as far as its plot still remains to be seen. They've got a good start. They've got an intriguing premise, a nice mystery laid at the beginning of it. Kind of gives me that same feeling that Supernatural did in its early seasons. So maybe this could be the successor to Supernatural that CW has been looking for, if it's actually good. Promising trailer, strong actors. Fantastic. Yeah, trailer was really good. So, color me intrigued, and I am actually going to sit down and watch the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Same. I'm super excited about some of the things on the back end that they're doing that maybe most people won't know about. So there are people that do they are considered practicing witches. They're Wiccan. One of the writers on the writing staff is actually a witch of sorts. So she can put in those real life things that people that truly do practice as a Wiccan won't be mad. Because I know I adored the first Charm, but I remember I had some friends that are like, even as adult, legitimately, that is their religion. They are considered Wiccan. And they were angry at some of the things because they're like, they make it look like it's not real and it's cheesy and you know what I'm saying? So I think having her there where she can be like, no, that's not what we would do. Now, granted, a lot of this is not real, of course, but having some part of realism to it, I think plays into a better storyline. It's focused in a college town this time, and the show will use that college campus setting to tell stories and help with assault and harassment. I kind of thought that was cool that it is a fictional get away from like what really happens in life, but they're finding a way to add that aspect in as well. And they have also mentioned, don't rule out the appearance of possibilities of original cast returning, because kind of like what we've learned with the other shows, there are multiverses. So you never know like what could happen. And it is obviously hypothetical. And nobody from the reboot at the point in time that they did some of the interviews that they did have said, you know, let's make this happen. But they, the writers all are commenting, the writers and the creators of this reboot, have mentioned many times that they have a lot of respect for the original foundation that this began on, which is the original Charmed. So I actually popped up this question on Facebook, and there were a lot of people that were like, nope, you just shouldn't remake it. You shouldn't do that. That's just, nope. Trailer looks horrible. This is horrible. This is bad. And I told them that I would politely disagree. That is a huge fan of Charmed. The trailer provided so much potential because you almost have to look at it as a completely different show, completely new show. Like, you almost have to pretend Charmed, like, this didn't happen before and give it a fair shake at things here.
Well, how much of that trailer is, like, accurate to the, well, not accurate, but you know what I mean, the same storyline as the original? Like, their mom died? Is that what happened in the first show, or?
As someone,
their grandmother was their grandmother in the original. Okay. Yeah, there was their grandmother. They were raised by their grandmother towards the end. So yeah, in the original Charmed, it was their grandmother has died and she's left them the house.
Okay,
but left them all the house, and they don't know that they are witches. And this one, their mother, it is their mother, and they haven't known. They haven't, I guess they didn't, kind of like the same. It's mm-hmm. modern day, obviously.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the mother's death this time.
It's got a little Buffy in it, too.
It does.
That was another thing that was really catching my eye. And I think it would be, I think this is a really awesome thing to have for the Me Too era, because I think that playing into that and using it as some of the backdrop for this show is a really good way to approach talking about these sorts of things and getting those conversations started. And what I can't think of a better show to address something like that. And speaking of that, like, if they were going to have some of the original cast, how awesome would it be for Alyssa Milano to actually appear on the show?
Right.
I personally would trip out over that and think that it would be a pretty awesome kind of passing of the torch, or like a seal of approval, if she digs on the show. But I mean, she'll have to see it and you know, make that determination later.
Has she or any of the other cast members, have they said anything about the reboot?
Holly Marie Combs has actually spoke out heavily against. She is not for this.
Oh, why is that?
I don't remember the real reasoning. It was not because, if I remember correctly, Russell, did you remember any of that?
I remember her speaking out against it, and I think it was pretty much the same reasons that anyone doesn't want any remake or reboot of a property, and that she was part of the original. She, you know, considers it's a sacred cow to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and there are some things in life that you just can't touch. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, yeah, I can fully get where she's coming from. That makes a lot of sense to me, because I have my own sacred cows that I don't think should be rebooted or remade. But on something like Charmed that I don't have like a deep personal connection to, I guess I'm more open to the idea. Maybe this will be more for me than the original show was.
Right.
But I can totally see it, like, for fans of the original who are like diehards, I can absolutely see how they would be very much opposed. And I think either opinion is fine. You know, don't watch the show, watch the show.
Right.
But it is going to exist in either of these, scenarios. So, if she doesn't like the show, I think we can probably rule out her ever guest shotting on it.
Well, that was mentioned in an article I read. I just found a quote from her, actually. And I just knew she was, like, heavily against it, but I won't read, like, the whole quote, but she just says she will never understand what is fierce, funny, or feminist in creating a show that basically says the original actresses are too old to now do the job they did 12 years ago. So I guess she takes it as a slap in the face, is what I get from that.
See, I didn't know that anybody had suggested as such, but
I don't know that maybe they have, but maybe that's how she feels. I don't have anything else to go with that.
I can kind of see where she's coming from there. Like, if you were going to redo the show, why not just pick the show back up where it left off? But
I do see that now.
At the same time, I also say, do you have more story to tell from the ending of where this show was?
I kind of felt like they ended it pretty well. I mean,
because if there's not more story to tell, then like picking the show back up with the original cast, you know, it might be fun for nostalgia's sake, but if you don't have anything really new to say, then why not reapproach the story from the beginning with a fresh set of eyes and put it in a modern context?
That's true.
That to me seems like a more viable way to approach a show like Charmed, rather than say other shows that have been revived like Will and Grace, which did seem like you could absolutely pick up where you left off and just keep going.
Which there have been with you mentioning Will and Grace, there's been that and Fuller House and True. Gilmore Girls and all of those where they did when they rebooted. It was the original cast. So maybe that's mm-hmm. where her mindset is with this. Like, great, you want to reboot my show? You want to reboot all these other shows? Why is it my show that is getting a reboot, but isn't getting, none of us are coming back?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I can completely
It's a remake, essentially.
Yeah, it's a remake, less so than a reboot.
We should call it a remake, not a reboot.
I agree with that. Let's call them what they are. Like, a reboot would be like we're just starting up an old show, but a remake is like completely starting over. And my stance on it remains the same. I feel like in the case of Charmed, a remake feels like it would work better, especially if you're trying to get the younger audience. Mm-hmm. And putting it on CW, I think, is a really good place for it because
where it was before.
True, like they were on the WB.
Right.
And then it became, or was it? It was something else. It was like, no, it was WB initially because it was around the same time that Dawson's Creek was also made.
Right.
And there's a show that should definitely not get a remake.
Let's leave that one alone.
Our fans might not like that, but okay.
Hey, I say that as someone who actually liked Dawson's Creek. I'm gonna out myself right now. I never watched 90210. I never watched Melrose Place. I watched every fucking episode of Dawson's Creek.
Well, maybe we need to do a talk and pop about it then.
Oh dear God!
You guys are so funny.
Yeah, I'm gonna like rant on Pacey a little bit.
All right. Let's move on to October 15th, cool. An infamous day where Arrow will premiere.
Hell yeah. Bring me that.
Yeah.
Bring me that.
I don't know. Like,
I don't know either. I'll be honest.
This trailer looked like shit that we have seen a billion times. Oliver Queen took everything from me, so I'm going to take everything from him. Did not we just do that?
We just done that like multiple times?
I'm okay with it because it's Ricardo Diaz.
Yeah, that's true.
And also because we're getting the Longbow Hunters, which is fucking great. But not the Mike Grell Longbow Hunters. Mm-hmm. We're going to be getting the Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino version of the Longbow Hunters. A lineup that includes Red Dart, and even though he's not on the Longbow Hunters like he was in Jeff Lemire's run, the character Brick, who is played by Vinnie Jones, is back in this season, but he's in prison with Oliver alongside Bronze Tiger, who I am very excited to see back because Michael Jai White is a badass. And the more fight scenes I get with him, the better. Because he's legit and can go. They're introducing Kodiak, who's going to be played by Michael Johnson from Van Helsing. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty classic DC villain. He's a big-ass dude. It's going to be a physical threat to pretty much anyone. it doesn't matter. But the really interesting thing that I saw in this is that they are introducing the Silencer as a member of the Longbow Hunters. And the Silencer is a brand new character who was just created last year in the pages of Dark Knight's Metal.
Hmm.
So she is a former, in the comics, she's a former League of Assassins member, who has the superpower of being able to transmit a kind of bubble of silence up to a certain amount of area around her. So anything that's happening within that bubble, no one can hear.
What a lame-ass superpower.
I don't know. I think I kind of like that shit.
She's effectively great at killing people as a result because they cannot hear her coming.
Okay.
And she's played by a lady named Miranda Edwards, who comes off of Orphan Black and The Magicians.
Yes.
And will be described here as a master of stealth. So she may not have the superpower, but she will be like a very like Assassin's Creed style killer. So these three, Red Dart, Kodiak, and Silencer, will make up the Longbow Hunters, and they will be led by Ricardo Diaz. Now, of course, they're going to be running around loose in Central City, or excuse me, in Star City, while Oliver's locked up. And I'm kind of digging this idea because it looks like the Supermax movie that has been bandied about for years.
I'm assuming that you're referring to the best part of the trailer, which was the shower scene in the prison.
Yes. Well, for years, a Green Arrow movie was talked about, and David Goyer, the writer of the Dark Knight trilogy and Man of Steel, had written a treatment for a Green Arrow live-action film called Supermax that would very much be this premise, with Oliver Queen being locked up in a Supermaximum facility, facing off against a bunch of B, C, and D-list or DC villains with cameos from A-list like Lex Luthor and the Joker. So I've been wondering if anybody would ever even attempt that with the character, and now it looks like we're actually getting it. Because all these little elements that are in that trailer and in the premise for this season sound exactly like the Supermax pitch that David Goyer had for the movie for so many years. I mean, going all the way back to like 2009.
Well, see, you're doing a better job selling me on this than the trailer did. It was just not very good.
Trailer to me was kind of okay and teased some really great action, as the show definitely had in the last half of this past season. And I'm kind of with you guys a little bit on Arrow's last season, the first half with the whole Caden James bit. The show was really close to losing me. Too much Caden James, who was lame as a villain. The focus on the who I refer to as the B team. I got no interest in them, and they can still fuck off. But with Colton Haynes coming back to play Arsenal, with more Diggle and Felicity, with Oliver like having the beard, looks like we're gonna finally get the goatee.
Nice.
And him like kicking ass hand to hand alongside, hopefully kind of alongside Bronze Tiger. And I've got my fingers crossed for a return of Deadshot and maybe Amanda Waller not being dead and a new Suicide Squad spinning out of this. I'm like, you got me. I'm still fully in on Arrow. Loving the idea of the Longbow Hunters. But Wild Dog, this version of, like, pretty much every version of Black Canary on this show and Curtis can pretty much just go fuck themselves and get off my show, and just leave. Bring Thea back while we're at it, because I mean, hell, if you wanted a secondary team, Thea, Roy, and Diggle running around, that works. And then you have the Oliver and Felicity angle. I think you've got enough show there, especially with a great villain like Ricardo Diaz. You have plenty to work with. There's no need to have all these other people over here. But, I mean, the biggest loss that we have suffered for this coming up season is Paul Blackthorn.
Oh, definitely.
Him not coming back is going to be a real blow. And that's one of my biggest concerns, is not having Daddy Lance on the show. Because he was a real presence and an invaluable like supporting character. So without him there, I do wonder what this means for the dynamic of not just the team, but just for the show as a whole.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Miranda, what you think?
Well, they haven't lost me yet. I know, Russell, you said they were starting to lose you. I'm hanging by a thread, to be honest. Really, the only thing that keeps me coming back is I really love individuals on this show.
Yeah.
Obviously, Stephen Amell has a presence about him, whether he's just being himself and talking, or he's on, you know, Ninja Warrior, or he's actually playing Oliver Queen on Arrow. He has a presence about him that you want to keep watching him. Well, not just because he looks really, really hot, but I mean, overall, like, I don't know, he just has a way of captivating you, because he looks like he's really genuine. Like, anytime he talks, he looks like he's genuine and he's knowledgeable about what he's talking about. And I feel like if you can bring that and grasp my attention, that's great. But even though the show is called Arrow and he is the Arrow, it is not all about him at the same time. So it's those moments where you add other people in I really don't care about, or you stretch too long on one story that could have been done in two episodes. So, I mean, I don't know. Last season, like, I still have episodes to finish, because obviously you don't know what happens. I don't want to just be like, and I didn't watch that. So the reason I stay is for all of those other people, all the people that I love. I love Diggle moments. I love Oliver moments. Felicity is fantastic. You guys know how much I adore her. I don't know. I need to go into this season, though, I think, with like a fresh slate, saying, okay, all right, there are people missing I really cared about. There are people coming back that I really enjoyed, but I've got to give this a chance. But in the same sense, if I catch all the way up and then I watch a few episodes into the season and I'm still feeling like I'm hanging by a thread, it may be the point I hate to say that. I hate to say that because this used to be my favorite of all the shows that we talk about. You all kind of like, I think that's when. So for some reason, my heart's not there, and I need to be done.
I think the season finale will help a bit.
Yeah, I think so.
For last season, like the back half of last season was pretty excellent, actually. It had a long run of great episodes. It won't do much for you as far as the secondary, the B team is concerned.
Right.
But the main cast are just so great. And then when they finally shift gears and make Ricardo Diaz the focus of the show and have like all the big reveals about him, that's when the season finally started to sing, and I felt like we were really on to something. So, fingers crossed.
Kept calling him Richard?
Yes, I kept calling him Richard Dragon. Thanks for bringing that up, Miranda.
It was funny. Sorry, I re-listened to that episode recently, and yes. I thought it was funny. And I was like, whatever. It's still an R word. It counts.
It's not accurate because in the comics, his name is Richard Dragon.
Okay, so that's totally why I did that.
Yes.
Well, we're going to say it is.
It's comic book accurate to call him Richard Dragon. You're fine.
All right, good. I feel better about that now. Now to my most anticipated returning show on October 22nd, Legends of Tomorrow.
Let's be honest. I think that's all of our most anticipated returning shows.
It's got to be, right?
Probably so. I mean, Constantine, for God's sake.
Yes!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Sorry. Is there any actor in all of these shows who fully embodies every aspect of the character they're playing more than Matt Ryan embodies Constantine?
Yes. I truly, truly, every time he's on Legends of Tomorrow, just miss again and reminded again of how awesome his show was. And how he did not deserve to be canceled after one, not even a full season. It really grates at me.
It sucks that that his show got canned the way it did, especially since it was actually legit good.
Yeah.
The the animated show they did on CW Seed is pretty good too. With him in the lead. So more folks should definitely go check that out. But him coming in for the entire season, like he's going to be a series regular on Legends of Tomorrow, and we already know he's got some serious chemistry with Katie Lutz.
Yes. I am here for it.
Love that they're playing up the bisexuality of both characters.
I do. I love that they're putting them in a my brain just went like completely. They're putting them in a I hate to use the word traditional. That sounds so crass. But they're putting them in like a straight relationship, but yet they're both very fluid and they are fantastic with either way. And I just love that they're both, and they're not like forgetting that, because shows sometimes will put people that are bisexual together in what America deems as traditional. That's how I'm going to word it. Yeah. But they like let it go at the wayside. They don't talk about the fact that they're bisexual anymore. And I like the fact that from what I have seen thus far, it's like, hey, they work really well together, but that's not to take away from the fact that they are okay in any capacity.
Yeah. And it's a relationship that I think is going to burn hot, but also fast, because I feel like they're going to get on each other's nerves to a degree
they're
after a while.
They're very similar, so that would yeah. Have, yeah.
They're going to piss each other off at some point. This relationship is doomed to implode, but at the same time, it's going to be a fun implosion to watch. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait for more of that, and it means that we're going to be getting a metric fuck ton of supernatural and like. Mysticism and demonology stuff added to Legends of Tomorrow, where maybe it hadn't so much before. And we certainly need that, commanding British male for this cast, because we've lost one.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rip Hunter will not be appearing at any time in this season of Legends of Tomorrow. He is definitely dead.
R.I.P. So, Rip.
Yeah, Rip is gone. And that's,
well, I mean, I don't know how you sacrifice your life to stop Malak and not be for real dead. Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's definitely dead. And we're going to be getting some not just magical creatures, but also apparently fairy tale creatures are going to be appearing.
Awesome.
In the show.
That makes me happy.
This is going to be one of the most just straight up nuts seasons of Legends of Tomorrow yet. And I got to tell you, I think that's really this show's biggest strength. The crazier it goes, the better it is.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
That's how it was last last season.
Like we said, Bebo!
and the word on the street is that Bebo is going to be back.
Yes, I
read something about that.
Bebo will make his triumphant return in this coming up season. And I'm here for it. I'm here for every bit of what Legends of Tomorrow has got for me.
I wonder if originally Bebo was not supposed to be such a big part of it, and then all the fans we all like fell in love with this Bebo, so now they decided, you know what, this works really well and it's funny and it's good.
You know what? I'm all good with it. Whatever it takes to get more Bebo, and you know it does kind of suck that that Legends is not going to be part of the crossover.
Yeah,
this
that
year.
Does suck.
Well, I don't think it's that they're so. From what I understand, they may be, but they don't have like their own individual episode that is part of the crossover. Present, but not like. I don't know.
It's hard to imagine they won't be affected by it in some way, especially with Dr. Destiny being the main villain played by Jeremy Davies. And you've also got, like I've mentioned before, Monitor, who's going to be played by LaMonica Garrett. That's two characters who very much affect the fabric of the multiverse. So it's hard for me to imagine that the Legends characters wouldn't be aware of them or affected by them in some way. Maybe not to the point of actually appearing in the crossover, but I could see it affecting their show. But we haven't really talked about the crossover so much, so we should probably address that. Because we got a couple of new characters who are going to be making their big debuts. First up is Elizabeth Tulloch playing Lois Lane, as Tyler Hoechlin is also going to reprise his role as Superman. So we've got the CW DCU version of Lois Lane finally making her debut after being name dropped on Supergirl for like 3 seasons.
Right.
So this is a this is going to be happening, and this this lady comes from God, what was the name? Was it Sleepy Hollow she came off of?
I watched that, so I want to say yes. Let me just double check that really quickly.
I know it was not
what's
that
her
show,
name again?
Her name is Elizabeth Tulloch, and it is not that she was on Grimm.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I watched both of those, but yes.
Similar premises, but yes, she was on that show. There has only ever been one bad Lois Lane, and I see no reason why that won't continue here. I think that having seen very little of her, the CW casting hasn't really missed all that much. They've been pretty right on with their casting, so I think she's going to be fine. And speaking of new actresses, we've also got Stephen Amell's wife, Cassandra Jean Amell, is going to be playing Nora Freeze, the wife of infamous Batman villain Mr. Freeze. And she's described as a villain. So that's kind of an interesting twist because Nora is typically only ever seen in a glass case.
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah, that's the only time we ever see her. So this idea, credit Nick Duke of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, seems like they could be gender swapping or at least reversing the roles of these two characters where she's going to be the one in the Freeze suit and maybe Dr. Freeze is going to be on ice awaiting a cure for some like horrible disease.
And I'm cool with that.
That's a nope. Good pun.
Oh my God.
Pun. I wouldn't even
fully intended.
This show is over with. What the fuck
no,
just happened?
No, it's not. I am so punny.
That was great. I approve. But we all know that that's not the big – these are not the two biggest happenings coming for the crossover.
No.
The biggest happening, the happening for the crossover is we are getting Batwoman.
She needs an introduction.
Yes, she does.
That.
Batwoman is played by Ruby Rose.
Genius casting. I mean,
yes,
just tremendous.
Yes, I am totally at the table for this.
Yes.
I am right there with you. This chick is a badass.
Yep.
And I can't wait to see what she brings to the table for Batwoman. And the word on the street is... from the producers of the show is that this is supposed to serve as a backdoor pilot for Batwoman's own solo series to premiere next season.
God, well, because I hope they have said she is getting her own series.
Yes.
I was confused when I looked at the list this year and was like, where be Batwoman?
Batwoman is going to make her debut in the crossover for a setup for her own show coming up later. And it's not just Batwoman, but Gotham City is going to be part of this crossover. So we are, we're in a whole new world or a whole new part of the multiverse, as it were, to get all of this into one show. And I feel like much like how Supergirl came in, is totally a show about her, with Superman only kind of existing on the outskirts, I feel like Batwoman may be a similar type of show but with Batman only being kind of ancillary, kind of on the edges of our view before they ultimately introduce their own version of Batman to pop up here and there. I feel like we're at a point where it's only a matter of time, but this really is all about Batwoman making her live action debut, and what a time to be alive. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see how the suit works and to see Ruby Rose back into back in hand-to-hand combat. Because if you guys want a good example of that, go watch John Wick 2.
Yep. She's good.
She owns it in that movie. She's awesome.
You know, I kind of like the idea of like bringing her in the crossover here and introducing her and allowing her to for people to see her, a snippet of her, to make them want more, number one. And I know I'm going to bring up something that you guys both hate so much, but I also kind of like the idea that they're letting Fox's completely different story, completely different thing, Gotham, end and be done before they bring you, but a different station brings you a different iteration and Batwoman in its own series.
That's actually why I think Batman is going to appear in the CW universe pretty soon, because Gotham is ending.
Right. They have allowed, like, you let that end and be done, and then you don't have people screaming. You know what I'm saying? Like, not two people are trying to do it at the same time.
No, that's precisely what I think. I think they're going to let Gotham be over, let Batwoman be established on her own terms. Mm-hmm. Maybe even wait like a full season of her show before we ever even see a Batman.
I honestly think that would be recommended, like they did with Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah, like let him be a shadow, but never let him be fully seen or take over any of her spotlight.
Right.
And then maybe it in like the second season of her show or something, if it makes it there, then you cast a version of Batman. But still only have him in like 2 to 3 episode stops.
Right. No more.
Yeah. Don't put Batman as the star of this show. Let this be a Batwoman show. That's who this show, that's what the show's namesake is going to be, and that's what it should be about.
I agree completely.
What's the crossover called?
Elseworlds.
All right.
Yes, which is a pretty cool idea, you know, since they're. You know, we're going to get an Elseworlds story adaption like we talked about in Supergirl. And I think this is all leading to a big crisis event at the next crossover, I think. I think we're getting real close to that that time when Barry is supposed to disappear in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, in the newspaper headline, it says that doesn't happen until
2024.
Mm-hmm. But I think the introduction of the Monitor here, all of these worlds like being aware of each other now, I think we've reached a point where we are in that critical moment. This is a countdown to the big moment when all these shows fully cross over and we wind up having a melding, like a merging of the worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you folks want to hear more about how that works, go listen to my new show, DC Post-Crisis Management, Episode 1, Crisis on Infinite Earths, featuring the manager, Todd Weber. Talk all about Crisis and the Monitor and all this good stuff in great detail.
Well, I adore your done. Shameless plug.
Yes, that was tremendous.
Shameless plug.
All right, so the crossover is not until December, the 9th, December, 10th, and 11th.
Yeah. Yep.
So we got to wait a while for that one.
That's okay. I mean, really, think about it, it's not that far.
Yeah, it's really not.
I mean, football season's like half over with already. Time flies by.
Right?
So on the 25th of October, though, we have another new show premiering on the CW. And I don't know, Miranda, you might could talk a little bit about this one. It's called Legacies.
I can. It is a spinoff of not just the Vampire Diaries, but also the original, which, if you remember the episode where Jenny and I kind of discussed the ending of Vampire Diaries and talked about how well they did it, but they had a moment at the end of that, at the series finale, when they left a tiny door that could be opened there, per se. And that is exactly what they've done in the Legacies. So if you're familiar with the Vampire Diaries, at the ending of it, there was a school opened by Alaric Saltzman. What is the name of the school? It's named after the Salvatore brothers that were the main vampire characters on these CW. And I had the name pulled up and it's going to kill me. There it goes. Saboteur School for the Gifted, or the Young and Gifted. Essentially, it's going to be vampires. Witch bloodline, things like that, obviously. So in the ending of Vampire Diaries and the originals, the Legacies is going to follow Hope Mikkelsen, or Mikkelsen, who is the daughter of Klaus and Haley. She's a descendant from she's actually the first ever, if I'm correct, tribe-bred. So she's a vampire, werewolf, and a witch. She has all three bloodlines in her. This is going to be, yeah, it's possible. But this happens 2 years after the events of the end of the originals.
Somebody watched Underworld and said, here, hold my beer.
Right? Watch this. The originals did really well. Like, the way that they explained to you she's all three, they did a really good job. So it's 2 years after the events that ended the originals, and she's 17 years old, and she attends the school. And the school provides a haven for those different beings that you learned about in Originals and Vampire Diaries. And it helps them to control their supernatural abilities and impulses that come with being a super, obviously. So I'm kind of excited to see where that goes. The only person that I am aware of at this point that is back from any of those shows is Alaric, played by Matthew Davis. And the girls that were the little twins that were the daughters of Alaric, that are witches, they're tiny little kids when they end, but they are also in the school, I'm assuming also about 17, 18 as well. So, I mean, it's a brief storyline. The trailer looked pretty good, but there's no real, like, in-depth synopsis of storyline. If you're familiar with the other two shows, you can kind of, like, speculate where it's going to go and what's going to happen. So I'm pretty pleased with what I've seen so far. I definitely will be checking it out and checking in as a fan of both of those series. I just hope that that door they left open, and now they've given it to them, it works, you know?
Awesome. All right. Next, we have a couple of mid-season premieres.
Yep.
I know that you are excited about a couple of these. What is the status with iZombie?
With iZombie, is this will be the final season that they will be airing. Kind of makes sense, though. As a longtime fan of the actual comic, I knew at some point it couldn't continue. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not possible. So I'm hoping that this is their chance to close it out, give us a good story and saying, like, this is why there's no more and this is what happened and be done with it. Because if you remember when I talked last year, mm-hmm. you're like, what's going on? They had introduced, people were aware that zombies existed, essentially.
Right, yes.
And it was the fallout from people knowing that zombies existed and you know, how that all kind of panned together. So, I'm apprehensive because it's not as I was losing interest. It's not that at all. But I forget, with it coming in mid-season, and they usually do have less episodes in their season than others, obviously, with being the way they are. But they did some things that hit me in the feels.
Aww.
Last time that was, I don't know, really hard to get over. So I guess we'll see. They're confirming, you know, that it's speculated to actually not happen until about February of 19. So we've got a long way off. So that's why they've not, I mean, there's, if when you go trying to do research on what's happening this next season, there's stuff, but there's not like a ton. And you're still dealing with the whole Liv and Major backstory that we've dealt with since like the beginning and their love story and, how that's still playing out even now. That were, like, what, 5-6 seasons in?
Something like that. I pieced out at the halfway point of last season.
Did you?
Yep. You know that point you get in some shows when you realize that you just don't care about anything that's happening to any of these characters? Mm-hmm. I got there, and I was like, well, maybe I'll come back to it while it's on Netflix. But for now, Seinfeld GIF. Bye-bye.
Right. Which we do get an NBA Hall of Famer season regular this time.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be on the season. Like, I'm tangentially aware of this, the final season's development.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be part of the city council, and he's one of the few people who didn't leave their place after a wall, because essentially, not to ruin it for you, but a wall was built.
to
kind of divide humans and zombies, essentially. But the wall was built.
Seriously?
Yes, got a wall. There's a wall.
That sounds like a Rick Grimes level plan.
I felt like some of the charm of the show had kind of left and wasn't really hitting me the way that it used to. I still really like the lead actress a lot.
I do.
She's really funny. She's really witty, smart. She's also just like freaking gorgeous. And Robbie is still funny.
Yes, he is fantastic.
I felt like they just weren't really going anywhere. It felt like the series was just kind of meandering along. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, this is just gonna keep going. And even though I was totally on board with the political statement it was making, I was still just feeling like, man, I just don't find myself really caring about this show anymore. So I guess that's it for me and iZombie.
I think it is interesting that you bring up a political fact, because it's not a show that you would think of that could make such strong statements, because, I mean, it's like it's about zombies. But it really does, and I think that's one of the things that continues to keep me coming back to it, and the fact that I adore Liv's character and the actress that plays Liv. And she has a great supporting cast around her. So overall, it has nothing to do with the cast or the acting. No. The storyline started to kind of waver for me when they did the whole, like, zombies are out and we are real. And they introduced the guy from Veronica Mars as the main character. I'm like, and we have this SWAT team that takes care of shit. You know, that's when I was like, I'm not sure what's going on here. So that's why I have high hopes for them to give us this final season, especially since they've gone into creating the season knowing it's the end, and they do something where it kind of just gives us closure since it started going downhill. It's plotline wise.
And knowing that the next season is the last one, that might get me to go and watch this past season, or at least the back half of this past season on Netflix. And then, I'll probably Netflix wait the final season, but at least I'll still have some interest in seeing it, because I do want to know how it ends. I want to see how they wrap it all up.
Right.
And that's, hey, if Supernatural would look over here and be like, oh yeah, maybe we should do that. Wrap it up. put a bow on it. Be done. I'll watch that. But if they're not going to give me that, I'm not coming back.
Gotcha.
Okay, so what about Jane the Virgin?
So Jane the Virgin from every version, I can't talk. Everything I've heard, initially this was getting canned.
That's what I thought.
Right, they were going to cancel it, and everybody, because they were like, oh, that was what we planned, that was our story, and everybody was like, are you fucking kidding me? If you haven't watched it, sorry, fast forward, I'm about to tell you what happened. So all the last season we dealt with Jane's mom, Zoe, she has cancer. And she's, you know, Jane's mom and dad are together now. So Rogelio has this newborn baby that he has with the plot twist, another lady, which that had been planned before. Like, it was one of those, like, they agreed to have this baby before him and Zoe got back together. So he's dealing with this newborn baby. She has cancer. Jane is finally kind of accepted the fate that happened to Michael a couple of seasons ago. She's raising her son on her own, which, if you remember, her son was not Michael's. That was it all stems from she was a virgin that got inseminated when she was supposed to be just getting a pap smear.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now raising her son, and she is with the little boy's dad, who is Justin. I don't remember how to say his last name. His name's Raphael on the show, but Justin Galbani. He was fantastic. He's amazing. Gives some great inspirational speeches. He has a TED Talk. Pretty fantastic. You should listen to. talks about how men should embrace emotions. Love it. But she is with Raphael, and they've this whole season, and that it was a tough season for me watching, because Jane's trying to raise her kid and be a good writer, and she's watching her mother go through chemo and all these treatments for her cancer, and she's watching with her dad now raising a daughter, but he never raised her, so she's got some
daddy issues.
Well, yes and no. It's not that she has, because they have built a great relationship now. Mm-hmm. But how can you imagine if your father never raised you? You actually didn't have a relationship till you were in your 20s, and then all of a sudden, now you have a strong relationship, and you're watching him raise another child. That'd be hard for me. It's a very good show that has funny moments, but it has a lot. It will gut-wrench you at the same time. But they ended it, you completely anticipate that Raphael is about to propose to her. He's like, there's something I need to tell you, there's something I need to ask you. She goes to his place, which Raphael actually is, he has no money anymore. He's not, you know, because he was the big, wealthy, rich dude. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any of that anymore. And so she's made him, like, you have to get back on your feet and figure out you before we can figure out us. And so they figured it out. You're completely anticipating that she's going to knock on his door. He's going to get down on one knee and say, will you marry me? And they end the season with he opens the door and Michael is standing there.
What?
Right? We all watched Michael die.
Plot twist?
Yes. So when they were like, sorry, we canned your show, everybody was like, what the actual fuck? Mm. So it is going to be the final season. They have agreed to bring it back and kind of clear some things up, which now I'm really upset because I have always been, like, Team Raphael. So now you bring back her dead husband, because this whole time she's been a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you... I hate this love triangle shit that CW is so good at. Like, I love it and I hate it. Just hate it. One of the big, I thought, important moments is her grandmother, who has been in this country for years. The reason she came here was to give her children a better life, and for her child to have a better life for her children. She finally becomes an American citizen, and she receives her American citizenship. And when they have the ceremony that I know is fake, because I know it's you know, an actress, but I cried when she was getting her citizenship. It's such a powerful, I don't know, this whole show is just very powerful, full of raw emotions, dealing with cancer, becoming a U.S. citizen. I had a friend that just recently did that, and they went live. Her husband did a live video while she was doing her swearing in the other day. Mm-hmm. And, like, I told work, I was like, yeah, I have to step away from my desk a minute, because I was watching my friend become a U.S. citizen, and I was bawling my eyes out for her because I know how bad she wanted this. And I was thinking about Jane the Virgin when I was watching it too, because even though it's acting, it's such great acting that you get emotionally caught up in this because you just feel how raw it is. And you know, my grandparents had to become American citizens. So it's like a special thing for me, because if they hadn't, and they hadn't chose to come here from Ireland, like, I wouldn't be here. So it deals with a lot of things. And the cancer issue, which all of you guys know, is a really raw thing for me. It's a really hard thing. It's a fantastic show. I'm glad that they decided to come back for one season, tie up loose ends, and finish some things. Because, I don't know, you watch shows to escape things, but sometimes they put in your face exactly what you needed to deal with on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so... not having an end to that, not having closure to that, was really bumming me out.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's wrap it up with Roswell, New Mexico. I watched the trailer for this one, and yeah, I'm kind of a mark for, like, UFO shit.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, this might be for me.
Did you watch the original Roswell?
No, I did not.
You never have? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no. I should probably do that. So is this a reboot, remake, retelling? What's the label on this one? Is it connected?
Wrestle, what do you... I don't know. Remake, would you say?
I'm not even really aware of this show's existence until today. Okay. So that's not... The original Roswell wasn't for me either, so I can't say that I'm really all that high on the idea of them revisiting. So, but if they're going to do that, they're going to do it. And that's one of those that I don't think was really begging to be rebooted or remade or any of that. So
it actually has a huge following. The original did.
It does. I mean, it's got a fan base for sure. But I am not among them, so I cannot really give a good informed opinion on this. All I can say is that this is another CW show that I will not be watching.
So this is one I will totally be watching. I did watch the original. Everything I can gather so far, and I could be very incorrect, because once again, with it being a mid-season, we do have a trailer. And we have a synopsis, but until they give us a little bit more, I'm not sure. I think also because of the name, it's not a reboot.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
It's a remake. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what is happening in this, and there's some names that we recognize from, well, I do. Tyler Blackburn, who was on Pretty Little Liars. Michael Trevino, who was in The Originals and Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. Who else was in it? There's few people, others that like look familiar, but I'm not sure of them. But the whole general idea of this show is that after a decade from being away from home, I am assuming she's going to be the main character. Liz returns to Roswell. She's coming back because she has to take care of her father, who is ailing from what, I'm not sure. When she gets there, obviously she reconnects with people that she went to high school with, particularly her crush, Max. He's now a police officer, which... I feel like we've done that before. Their chemistry is supposed to be really good. At least that's what it says. But she learns kind of shocking things about Max. And apparently Max is supposed to be an alien. Him and his siblings are aliens who have kept their ability secret, like, their whole lives.
All right. Yeah, I'm in for that.
Yeah. So she learns about it, obviously, at some point. She has to try to keep the secret too, or decide how she feels about all this. But I guess in keeping the secret from like friends and feeling how she goes with this, you're also, there's that long standing government conspiracy and politics that surround being from Roswell and being in Roswell. So I guess we're going to get some conspiracy theories. We're also probably going to get the whole CW love triangle, keeping secrets from friends thing, obviously.
Yeah. And so, it's, according to the Wikipedia page, this is the second series to be adapted from the Roswell High books, which, mm-hmm. Yes, this is a...
I never read the books, though.
It's a... This is tied into the original Roswell series. It even uses the same font for its title card. So, as much as I can glean from the Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Wikipedia because it gives some good information, but since just anybody can update, like, and like, you never know what to take with a grain of salt and what to, you know.
Well, it is an adaptation of the Roswell High books, and mm-hmm. it's use of the same font of the original show for its title cards. Says that it is related in some way.
All right.
It's all based on the same material.
Okay.
Well, so maybe just like Charmed and more of a remake than a reboot.
I think that's probably the direction they're headed, is more remake rather than reboot. But of this season, I think Charmed is going to be the one to succeed.
I agree.
Oh yeah.
I do agree.
Although I think I prefer aliens to witches, but I mean, that's neither here nor there.
See, and well, you do. You prefer aliens to witches, and I prefer witches. Like, that's, I think it's just part of, like, a personal preference
thing. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. Anything else that you guys want to say about the slate of TV shows for CW?
I don't know how I'm going to keep up with all of it, but
me either.
I'm going to do my damnedest to stay up on all my DC shows. I mean, that's all other shows become secondary to those once the season starts.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Which I have already started some of the new shows because of how they aired.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. So now I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I need another DVR. I need a separate one.
Plus, you know, just the time to watch it all, you know?
That is true, which I will
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'm very extremely thankful. Like, I still have to super focus at work. But with my promotion, unless it's a show I really have to. Okay, you know there's shows that, like, you cannot do anything else while you mm-hmm. watch?
Yep.
Like, you cannot. So unless it's one of those, with the promotion I took, I don't have to have headphones on my head all day and talking to other people all day. So I can somewhat multitask. So
that's awesome. Been,
yeah, it is nice. So I have actually been getting through some of the new things that have already come out because, you know, I have discovered there are a couple of shows that I have started that you can't do that. I can't do it with. Mm-hmm. I have to wait and watch them when I'm not working. Because I also have to really pay attention to what I'm doing at work, or I could easily screw something up for somebody. And we're talking about people getting a job here.
Yeah, that's way more important than, you know, American Horror Story or some shit.
Well, I don't do American Horror Story.
I know.
We do Wednesday night watch parties now. That's become a thing at my house.
Yes,
Wednesday
I know.
Wednesday night watch parties.
All right. Miranda, what time is it?
Brought to you by NPR. This is Jenny. Well, cannot not laugh when I do my NPR voice.
That was a giggle. Russell, you first.
You go first, sir.
Oh, as the guest. Well, since it's CWDCU season, I got to go to, I think, my current favorite of the DCU, one Miss Lena Luthor.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
Because I hinted at it before.
No, because you hinted it all the time.
Yeah, cannot deny she wears those dresses.
Yes, she does.
By the way, did you guys know that Googling nerd eye candy is a thing?
Did not.
You totally can.
Is it just a picture of you?
That would be awesome! That would be awesome.
Put it in Wikipedia.
Creator of Nerd Eye Candy segments on Geek and Sassy, Miranda Berthold. Sorry. Anyway.
File for a patent.
All right, so mine.
Yes, Jenny, it's your turn.
Also inspired by DC, but it's inspired by the rewatch that I'm doing on the DC Universe app, which I talked about last time.
To get that.
So my nerd eye candy will be the combination of Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
Ooh, nice combo.
Because even in these watches where it's still dated, like it's really dated, but their chemistry and connection is just so, I mean, it's just so beautiful. And they're both just so good at what they're doing. And the show is just so, like, it's timeless for me. Like,
okay.
Go ahead.
Is it too late for me to like switch my pick to Lane Smith because because he's totally got BDE?
You're not wrong.
You think about that. Perry White's walking around like he knows what he's working with.
He's swinging a hammer for sure.
Oh my god, guys. Oh my god, never mind. Made me think of something. So there's this author that I follow that she wrote a book called Sweatpants Season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about like being able to figure out what guys have in you know, what they're carrying, because a lot don't wear underwear when they are wearing sweatpants.
I'm a fan of this season, I'll just say. Like, I think that more people should wear sweatpants. And I might be alone in that, but you know.
What's happening right now?
I know, right?
You love us, so you are okay with this. You're not sure that you're okay with now having this image in your head, but you're okay with this conversation because you love us.
Well, the image of me wearing sweatpants, well. It's still a little warm for that, but.
Yeah, that's true.
90 fucking degrees out there. I'm over it, guys. I'm so over it. I need like 50 degrees. I want to use my fireplace. I want to wear leggings and a sweatshirt all day long.
I'm hoping that sweatpants season is a hashtag on Instagram.
It is.
Thank God.
It is a hashtag.
It is. Sweat.
Jenny's gonna go.
Yep. Doing
Jenny's
it.
Jenny's going in search of the sweatpant BDE.
Hashtag sweatpants. Let's see what we got.
Jenny's like, where is it?
They're all fucking chicks. That's not what I signed up for.
Well, I mean, jokes on you. You may get people like promoting her book. Hashtags, so you may get some things where they're promoting the book, but I promise you, because of things I have seen posted, it is not just like, yeah.
Sweatpants season. Okay, here we go. Maybe yeah, that's out. Better.
Well, never mind.
I also learned something new that made me feel like I was like this little virgin child. So the other day someone was like, oh, and I never Google such and such. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why not? And they were like, just don't, I'm going to save you just don't do it. And so because don't tell me not to do something. So I Googled it and I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't get anything bad. Like I get nothing bad. And so my friend was like, well, when you're searching, are you in a private browser or are you just like using Safari? And I was like, I'm just, cause you know, on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't use a private browser. I don't have any reason for my phone not to save what I search. Like, you know,
I'm that's like, ridiculous, no, but continue.
Well, never mind. Anyway, hey, I am not ashamed of anything I search. Okay.
Oh, you're
anyway.
Right.
So I was like, no, I don't use private browser. I'm not worried about, like, my husband picking up my phone or anything like that. And he was like, go to private browser and search the same word. And he had to explain what the word was, too, because I didn't know. So I Googled it, and I was like, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by Instagram right
Google
now.
Google things in private search browser instead of just regular Safari, apparently you get different search feedback.
I'm about to send you both Jenny's spirit animal right now.
Oh, what? Yes, oh please God. Do. This is good podcasting right here. All right.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I'm going to be very vague about this word because I don't want to offend anybody. So I'm just not going to use it. But if you would like to private message me and ask me, Miranda, what was the word that the lady said don't search?
Bitch, please, you. Say it. Just say it.
Okay, I want to know.
My gay friend said that's not why he was joking, like he wasn't being mean, but I asked my friend who's gay, and he was like, that's our word, bitch. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. But it's a twink, and it's like a description of, apparently there's like a twink, a bear, and I don't remember what all it is, so I'm not going to guess to get it wrong and piss people off here. But it's like body descriptions for gay men. So like a twink would be like slim, slender, skinny, hairless.
I didn't know that.
But she was like, don't Google search it because you'll get like things that maybe you didn't want to see or maybe you do want to see. And I was like, so when you search that word in just random browser, like your regular like Safari, you don't get anything bad. You don't.
Well, it's not bad. I mean,
it's not bad. But you don't get anything that, like, some people may not want to see that at all. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what she's getting at.
Well, then they shouldn't be fucking Googling it, then.
This is right, but I didn't care, and I was like, what's so bad about this? So I had to Google it.
Okay.
Reasonably sure if you Google bear, you're going to get a bunch of pictures of the animal, a bear. That's what's going to come up.
And when I think complete, that's not what I think of, so, like... you get other things. Anyway, so yeah.
I was looking for pictures of hairy gay men, and all I got was this picture of a grizzly.
Well, I think I told the story on here.
Google
where it's, like,
lied to me.
And my dad accidentally got
Google right now.
Yeah. killing me, Smog. You're killing me.
Can I change my answer to...
No! You both can't change your answer.
No, I'm not changing my answer.
I'm totally not changing my answer. I'm just saying that Lane Smith deserves some nerd eye candy because we lost him years ago, but he was still the greatest Perry White of all time.
Agree.
I give you that.
All right. Who's your nerd eye candy?
Well, my nerd eye candy also comes from the CW greatness. I'm going to go with one Matthew Davis, a.k.a. Alaric Saltzman.
Who is this guy?
I have no idea who this is.
Are you freaking kidding me, guys?
Nope.
Both suck balls.
What is he from?
Vampire Diaries, the originals. He's going to be on Legacy.
Oh, okay.
The Alaric Saltzman.
Okay.
Said that like a bunch of times. Caden. Okay, Caden, who are not listening to me.
What?
He's also he was also on What About Brian and Damages, and he's been in some CSI. He was on the show Cult.
Oh yeah, he cute.
I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll admit I tuned out as soon as you said Vampire Diaries.
He was also on Legally Blonde, by the way.
Oh yeah,
that's not helping.
Legally Blonde is good, and you know it.
I like the movie. I thought it was funny. I thought that first movie was funny. Yes, it's Reese Witherspoon is legit funny.
He's yes. Warner. He's Warner, Warner. From Legally
yeah.
Blonde.
Yeah,
oh, he's that guy.
Yes.
I still can't picture him, but
just Google Bear and he'll be right there.
Oh dear Jesus!
Wait a minute. I'm not gonna go there.
All right. Well, this show is over.
This show has officially reached a new low.
It has. Thanks, whoa, Russell, for that.
You're very welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Exactly. Well, you already plugged your shit earlier, but you have at least 25 different shows now. So go ahead and tell us about that.
Well, you guys already know about the DC show. Talked about that one earlier. I'm also a member of the Sarcastic Four on the Marvel Age podcast. You can check us out once, twice a month. We're doing a deep dive onto Marvel Comics history, looking at a list created by the Comic Book Herald that goes from 1961 all the way to the modern day. And it's been a hell of a ride so far. We're up to 1968 now. We're currently working on that one. You can catch me occasionally on Marvel Age Masterclass with Ben Morse. And if you want to follow my goofy ass on Twitter, you can at me at Russell_Sellers and listen to all my weird and funny, not really, comic book opinions and get a bunch of retweets and plugs for all the other great PTBN comics and PTBN pop shows such as Geek and Sassy and Talk and Pop, which I absolutely love.
Well, thank you.
And Freak Out Drive-In, which is a hell of a show so far and really great for the Halloween season right now.
Love it.
Jenny, I hope you got another episode coming soon on that.
I do, and thank you for plugging your shit and then stealing all of my plugs for my shows. I appreciate that.
I'm not plugging your shows. I am merely saying that I enjoy them.
Well, I appreciate that. But you can follow me at JennyCruz2814 on Twitter. And listen to Talk and Pop and Freak Out Drive-In. Miranda, what you got?
So you can find us collectively on the Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter feeds there. My brain just went completely dead. This is what medication does to you people.
Oh, also, I got a new phone, so I don't know our Twitter, so you'll have to, like, hook me up with that again.
I wondered why you weren't replying to anything, and I was. Yeah. I was like, okay, I guess I do this for us. Sure.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? This is how medicated I am. I almost just gave you the password to our Twitter here live.
Yeah.
Things about to get real interesting on Twitter.
Don't be sliding up in our DMs.
Oh, Jesus.
No, we're just going to post up a bunch of pictures of bears. And Sassy Feet is nothing but grizzlies from now on. And pandas. And koalas.
And twinks.
Those aren't real bears. And pictures of the character Twink.
Okay, anyway.
Tweet those to @MomsANerd.
No, don't tweet those to Mom's Nerd. I do like bears, though. Like the animal.
Me too, baby.
Animal. Anyway, I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Mom's Nerd. More so on Instagram and the Facebook. I'm bad with Twitter.
I got you.
I tweet lots of when I get achievements in Warcraft.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I tweet my achievements because bitches, I be proud of them. They're real proud of my Warcraft achievements.
All right, so the next Geek and Sassy will have another guest, but it won't be until a couple weeks. So get caught up on our last 3 episodes, including this one. And then we will see you next time. Thank you for listening.
Welcome for talking.